We're going to go to the book of Luke this morning, chapter 24. Luke 24, beginning at the first verse. Very early on Sunday morning, the women came to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. They found the stone covering the entrance had been rolled aside. So they went in. But they couldn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. Better call the police. They were puzzled, trying to think what could have happened. Suddenly, one of my favorite words in the Bible, suddenly, two men appeared to them clothed in dazzling robes. The women were terrified and bowed low before them. Why are you looking in a tomb for someone who was alive? What are you doing here, ladies? What are you doing here? He isn't here. He has risen from the dead. Here's what often happens to us. Don't you remember what he told you back in Galilee? That the Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and then he would rise again on the third day? They looked at their calendar. Oh, it is the third day. Then they remembered that he had said this. So they rushed back to tell the 11 disciples and everyone else what had happened. The women who went to the tomb were Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and several others. They had a crowd going there looking for the body of Jesus. Not a one of them remembered what he had said. That he was going to rise again on the third day. They told the apostles what had happened, but the story sounded like nonsense. The apostles, you remember them. The 11 apostles that traveled with Jesus for 3 years, that Jesus had told repeatedly, I'm going to be handed over to the Romans and to the religious leaders. I'm going to be crucified, and then I will die, and then on the third day I will rise again. Those apostles, remember them now? They were wondering, what? Huh? Huh? Sounded like nonsense, so they didn't believe it. Now, sometimes when we tell the story of the resurrection, right? Today's Easter. Lots of people are eating bunny ears right now. Looking for eggs. Opening up their Easter baskets. Which, yes, eggs represent new life. I get that part. And when we tell them the story, the great story, what happened to Jesus, that he died for our sins to give us freedom. He was our Redeemer. We have forgiveness and mercy and grace. And that he was crucified for us so that we could live a full life and be set free of guilt and shame. And that he would be buried and that he, on the third day, was resurrected from the dead and lives forevermore. They think it's nonsense, some people, right? Hard to believe. However, Peter ran to the tomb to look. Stooping, he peered in and saw the empty linen wrappings. Then he went home again, wondering what happened. Peter, walk on water, Peter. Remember him? Peter, who saw Jesus feed 5,000 people, that same Peter. Anybody here ever seen a miracle of any kind? So it's easy for you to believe about the resurrection, right? Peter wondered what happened. Fear was still on him. Remember Peter the runaway, Peter too, who ran away from Jesus in fear? His fears and doubts covered his face. His own personal self got in the way of him being there for Jesus at the very end. Peter, human Peter. Anybody here a human Peter, by the way? Any of us? Yeah. Sometimes. We're going to change that today. Because Jesus changed everything, right? We start off sometimes and our fears, our humanness gets in the way of us so often, does it not? Today's the day the Spirit takes over. And the spiritual power that raised Jesus from the dead, that gives us all new life. That's the Spirit that's going to come upon us today. And so we'll be empowered by God to be different. At least than Peter, right? Okay. That same day, two of Jesus' followers were walking to the village of Emmaus, 7 miles out of Jerusalem. They were followers. They're no longer followers. Where are they headed? Opposite direction, going home. As they walked along, they were talking about everything that had happened a few days ago. Suddenly, Jesus himself came along and joined them and began walking beside them. But they didn't recognize him because God kept them from seeing that. And they were so deep in sorrow, they wouldn't have recognized him anyway, right? Have we all been so deep in sorrow that you can't even see through your tears? You can't see the hope? You can't see the light? Sure, we all have. But who comes walking along in those times for them and for us all the time? Jesus himself. You may not recognize it. It might come in another person. It might be another human being that God's going to use to come walk alongside you. But know this, it's God who sent them. You seem to be in deep discussion about something, Jesus said. What are you so concerned about? They stop short. Sadness written across their faces. Of course, they saw the crucifixion. They saw that Jesus was buried in the tomb. They didn't know the end of the story, did they yet? We don't always know the end of the story in our own lives, do we? We don't always know how things are going to turn out, do we? But we know they're going to turn out good, great. But sometimes what comes in between? Greatness. Sadness, loss, right? Suffering. That's the beginning, but that's not the end, is it? Ever. The one of them, Cleopas, replied, "You must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about all the things that have happened these last few days." "What things?" Jesus asked. I love Jesus. "What are you talking about, boys? Huh? What?" "The things that happened to Jesus, the man from Nazareth," they said. "He was a prophet who did wonderful miracles. He was a mighty teacher, highly regarded by both God and all the people. But our leading priest and others, religious leaders, arrested him and handed him over to be condemned to death. And they crucified him. We had thought that he was the Messiah who had come to rescue us." We had thought that, but what happened? We had thought that, but we no longer believe that, do we? How many times in all of our lives has something happened over here and we think that somehow, some way, God's let us down? And we had thought that God was going to get us out of that situation. God was going to make things better. A healing was going to happen, or something was going to turn around, right? And sometimes it doesn't, does it? Sometimes a greater miracle happens. Just the resurrection. "We had thought he was the Messiah who had come to rescue us. That all happened 3 days ago. Then some women of our group, of his followers, were at his tomb early this morning. They came back with an amazing report that we could impossibly believe. It couldn't possibly be true." Imagine saying that to Jesus. He's like, "They said his body was missing, and they had seen angels who told them Jesus is alive. Some of our men ran out to see, and sure enough, Jesus' body was gone, just as the women had said. I don't believe the women, so I'm going to send the men, and I'm not going to believe either one of them. Look what doubt does. Then Jesus said to them, "You are such foolish people. You find it so hard to believe all that the prophets wrote in the scriptures." It wasn't just what Jesus had said. It's everything that's written in the scriptures preceding. All those 414 prophecies about Jesus. This is going to be, they're going 7 miles, right? 7 miles walking. This is going to be a long sermon between Jesus and these two men. Because here's what happens. Wasn't it clearly predicted by the prophets that the Messiah would have to suffer all these things before entering his time of glory? You see that even Jesus has to enter a time of suffering because he's so human. He has to go through what we go through, right, to understand us so implicitly and so closely. He understands us intimately and what suffering is like. He's not a God who does not feel what we feel. He's well acquainted with sorrow and grief and pain and suffering. But he also knew that that suffering would end and then glory would come. But it had to happen before he could have glory. So if we're suffering now, that means what comes next? Glory. Then Jesus quoted passages from the writing of Moses and all the prophets, explaining what the scriptures said about himself. It was a long conversation. Even longer, I'm sure, than this very sermon will ever be. Because I'm not going to go into all of those prophecies and the writings of Moses. But Jesus explained it to them. See what the Word of God does? It's an explanation. And then he's also saying, this is who I really am. In order to be the Messiah, all these other things would have had to happen first, which exactly did. That's how he was now proving to them, not only that he rose from the dead, but the fact that the scriptures pointed right to him and that he would be raised from the dead. And it was done through what the Word of God said. By this time, they were nearing Emmaus and the end of the journey. Jesus would have gone on. He had other places to go. But they begged him to stay the night with them since it was getting late. So obviously, this is a little bit, time has passed, has it not? Now it's getting late in the day. These men evidently had a place that they were going, just going home perhaps. Going to a place to stop for the night before they continued their next journey. We don't know. It's not in Scripture. But here's what takes place. So Jesus went home with them. Jesus was moving on, perhaps. And yet these men invited him home. And what did he do? He went with them. When you invite Jesus into your home, in your heart, in your life, or in any time that you want to worship and be in his presence, you invite him to your situation that you're in, he steps into it, and he comes and he stays, even though he's got other things perhaps to do, like running the universe. So he went home with them. And then as they sat down to eat, he took a small loaf of bread, asked God's blessing on it, broke it, and gave it to them. Here they invite Jesus to his home, right? What does Jesus do as he always does? He serves them. They invite him. He feeds them. That's just the way Jesus operates all the time. You invite him into your life, you will be fed on bread, the Spirit, for all of the entire life. Suddenly, their eyes were opened and they recognized him. Who else could it have been? He told them all the scriptures. Basically, what took place in this 7-mile journey? Bible study. A walking Bible study. You spend time with the Holy Spirit. You spend time with your Bible. You spend time sitting down and inviting Jesus in to teach you by the power of the Holy Spirit. You have Bible study. The very Word of God, as in the book of John tells us, He is the Word of God, the living Word of God. You sit down with that, He'll teach you all kinds of things. And suddenly, you'll get it. You getting it now? You getting it? And as they recognize him, and at that moment, he disappeared. They said to each other, didn't our hearts feel strangely warm as the hour we were walking with him and as he spoke the scriptures to us? I pray that each and every one of you, anytime you open these scriptures, that your heart feels warm, because God can warm your heart by being in the presence, especially in the Word of God. And within the hour, they were on their way back to Jerusalem, where the 11 disciples and the other followers of Jesus were gathered. When they arrived, they greeted with the report, "The Lord really has risen." He appeared to Peter, is what they said to him. And these guys go, "Wait a minute, you think that's something? We left here because we couldn't believe. We went to opposite, we were going home. We had a personal fellowship with Jesus. He came and walked with us, and he talked to us, and he taught us everything we ever needed to know about how he really is the Messiah. They had thought that before. Now they really believe it now, right? So they had a Bible study. They had a personal fellowship. They had communion, if you will. They went from information of the Bible to a personal relationship. That's what changed them. And that's what sent them back to go tell Peter, all the rest of them, "The Lord's alive. I felt his spirit." Then the two from Emmaus told their story of how Jesus had appeared to them as they walked along the road and how they recognized him as he broke the bread. And just as they were telling about it, Jesus himself suddenly was standing among them. He said, "Peace be with you." Now you can have peace of heart and mind. All is well. But the whole group was terribly frightened, thinking they were seeing a ghost. I always thought that ministering and pastoring was hard, and preaching and getting into people's heads was hard. Here's Jesus himself standing among them. They hear from the women. Then they hear from the men. Peter even saw him. And now these two guys say, "We're on our way to Emmaus, but Jesus brought us back instead, and we want to tell you he's alive. We spent time with him." And then suddenly Jesus is right there in the midst of them. Anyway. They were frightened, thinking they were seeing a ghost. "Why are you frightened?" he asked. "Why do you doubt who I am?" Interesting. Some of us can doubt from time to time, can we not? Sure we can. "Look at my hands." What did he show them? The nail marks. In fact, most likely when he broke that bread, those two men saw the nail marks. That's how this suddenly happened. "Look at my feet, those other two wounds. You can see that it's really me." All of us need the kind of faith and sight that we can really see when God's moving in our life, when God is really speaking to our mind and our heart and our soul, when God is suddenly in the midst of our turmoil, our concerns, our worries, our sadness, our sorrow. When you can know that wherever you are, when you get that feeling, anybody ever get that feeling like somebody's doing something, telling me something, or sometimes it's just, I don't know how it came to my mind, and I don't know where it came from because I wasn't thinking of it, suddenly, or you're sad and suddenly peace comes for some reason. See all the suddenlies we can have, because Jesus is a living God through the Holy Spirit, because he told us this, that unless the grain of wheat goes to the ground and dies, that's the only way for that seed to spread and bring many lives into resurrection. He knew he had to suffer, but he also knew that his spirit would be set free then. Remember he promised the disciples the Holy Spirit? You remember that? Say yes. Okay, good. And so once he died in the human form, he could then send his spirit, which was happening here. He said, touch me. Touch me. To prove that he was alive. Sometimes God does touch us, and are we realizing it's God touching us? Be more on alert for that. Especially in the moments when it seems the darkest, when it seems like there is no way out. Jesus will touch you, I promise you that. Still they stood there doubting, filled with joy and wonder. I wonder what's happened. I wonder. Joy and wonder. Then he says, do you have anything to eat? I love Jesus. anything to eat? Yeah, there's a piece of broiled fish. I'll take it. He was hungry. He had walked all those miles, right, with those two guys from Emmaus, and all he ate was bread. And now, boom, there he is. But he's showing them that in a human form, again, he's now in the human form. He says, touch my body, look at my hands, look at my feet. He's trying to help them believe. He's showing them signs of the fact that he's still alive. Anybody here need a sign that God is alive? Good. We said no over here. Perfect. This side's winning today. Beautiful. They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he ate it as they watched. I could just see the people. Then he said, when I was with you before, I told you everything written about me by Moses and the prophets in the Psalms must all come true. Then he opened their minds to understand these scriptures. Maybe your prayer today is, you know, the tune's been open. How about we open our mind to everything that the scriptures say? The truth that's in there, and that God reveals it to us. And it opens us and it changes us, because you cannot change and be changed by God without an open mind and an open heart. That's what it takes. And he said, yes, it is written long ago that the Messiah must suffer and die and rise again from the dead on the third day. With my authority, take this message of repentance to all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem. There is forgiveness of sins for all who turn to me. What's the message? There's forgiveness of sins for all who turn to me. That's a great gospel message that Jesus wanted carried on. Anybody here need forgiveness? Anybody here need to forgive somebody else? Do it now, do it today, because that's what Jesus commanded these folks and for all of us to understand. There's forgiveness of sins. And we want to help people turn to Jesus, don't we? These two men that walked away, they had a great U-turn, did they not? And every time we turn back to God, even as far away as some of us can get, he always welcomes us back. And now I will send the Holy Spirit just as my Father promised, but stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven. And so what do you suppose the disciples did then? Now they understood. They got it finally. Those two men that were walking in one direction and the opposite direction came back. Why? Because Jesus appeared to them. So if you need an appearance from Jesus in your life, today is the day to ask for it. If you need to know more about what the truth of who God is, read it in the scriptures. You can put your faith and your hope. When these two men initially said, we thought he was the Messiah. Well, guess what? He was the Messiah, the King of all kings. He came to give us all eternal life and redemption and freedom. And an abundant life, a wonderful life. How about we start living that life as though that statement was true? Are you believing it today? You really believing it? Or are you doubting and wondering? You know it for a fact, correct? And no matter where you go, no matter what you do, Jesus is going to walk alongside you, is he not? And better than that, he's going to take the spirit that is God himself, that third part of the Trinity, and put that spirit within you. So guess what? Everywhere you go, Jesus goes with you. He's not going to keep on going somewhere else and disappear from sight. He just did this to prove that he was actually resurrected. Some people need to see it with their own eyes, do they not? Let me ask a quick question. How many of you have been resurrected from something in your life that used to be dead? Well, the whole entire room. How many of you have been changed? Oh, yeah. How many of you now have more hope than you ever had before? Yeah. Oh, I even see the Facebook hands going up. Hallelujah. How many of us have suffered? How many of us have been relieved of suffering? Suffering and sorrow come, yes. That's part of life. Jesus never candy-coated things. He knows what it's like. But he also can give you peace and comfort in that time. And there always will be glory later. Now, some of us that have lost people in our lives, we're waiting to see them again. We will see them again, though, won't we? Oh, yeah. Yes, we will. But in the meantime, there's us. We're here. How about we may all make the most of our lives, spiritually speaking? How about we make a difference to others by telling our story of how we've been resurrected? How we know that there's a God in heaven? How we know that Jesus is miraculously wonderful, loving, and kind, and generous, and that we have a personal relationship with him. If you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, today is the day to get it, to have it. He wants in your heart. He wants to abide with you. He wants to commune with you. He wants to feed you and bless you and give you peace. He's already given you forgiveness, boy, what he did on the cross, right? And if you make another mistake in the entire rest of your life, I know most of you won't, but if you happen to, you'll also be forgiven then as well. But in the meantime, while we live this life, I know for a fact that these disciples were changed forever. I know that Cleopas was never the same after meeting Jesus. Now, you may not have some kind of spectacular situation where, wow, suddenly Jesus appeared. Well, you just may. In fact, I often find that he's right in the midst of all of our greatest, deepest sorrows and pain and suffering and hurt. That's when he shows up the most. And then we get that sense of relief, do we not? And we also know that there's hope. That the reality of what happened to Jesus, rising from the dead, is also our reality as well, is it not? And I know each and every one of us have had many various resurrections in our life. And some of us need some more, right? And I always know that how we can get people to stand up and feel powerful and to be resurrected is every time I end my sermon, you all come back to life. And I see you jump up and run out to your place. So I believe in resurrection. I see it every Sunday. And I'm going to see it today as well. Some of us want to avoid trials, although Jesus had a trial. Some of us want to avoid suffering and pain, myself included. But Jesus suffered pain, a lot of pain. I don't know about you, I like the end result better. Most people, when we talk about Easter, when we talk about what happened on Friday, they go, Sunday's coming, Sunday's coming. I can't wait for Sunday to come. Sometimes our Sundays take a little long, do they not? Sometimes our resurrection takes a little bit more time than 3 days, maybe seven. Maybe 40, maybe longer than that. but they always come. That's the promise that we have. God's word transforms us, but when we live it out in our own lives, we then live the word. When we live the word and we walk with the word and we share the word by our life and by our actions, we show people that we serve a risen Savior who not only rose from the dead and was resurrected, but guess what? He lives in you and me. And how do we show people that? We live a resurrected life. We have hope. We have joy. We have peace. We have excitement and exhilaration. And we are always ready to feed others what Jesus fed us. The word of God, the love of God, and the service of God. So you ready to live your resurrected life today? All right. Please go show what risen life looks like by bringing Christ into every aspect of your life. And then, before you run out of here, hug somebody and show them the love of God. Amen? Amen. Amen.